Now, the idea of this talk this morning was that it would prove as a summary of the New Land series that we've been looking at over the past few weeks. And we do have one more to come from Kath next week, looking at Jeremiah. Nonetheless, we're having our summary slot now. And as I prayed and looked at these different talks that have been delivered so well, with lots of drama from the kids, which has just been fantastic, then some themes emerged for me that I wanted to share with you all this morning. In particular, oh, sorry, bear with me. Let me just get this up. So in particular, we see then, let's look at these five different stories here that we've had so far then. So you see, we've looked at Abraham and Sarai. We've looked at Joseph. We've looked at Moses and the tribe of Israel. We've looked at Joshua, and we've looked at Ruth and Naomi. And in each case, what I'd like to suggest to you, as we've looked at these stories, each example has involved reconciliation. That's quite a big word. So making peace with the past. Making peace with the past. And what do we mean by making peace with the past? Well, for one, it involved truly acknowledging that they were now in charge, not somebody else. For a few of them, it meant a decision not to return to a physical place of comfort or security. And for another, it meant an extreme act of forgiveness. It meant letting go of or handling great pain and harm caused by another and moving forward and, in fact, acting out of love and forgiveness towards them. So part of our challenge this morning that comes from this series that I believe God would call us to today is to be considering what of the past may be holding you back from taking step into God's future with you. What is it? What might be the stick in your mouth that could be prohibiting you, holding you back from stepping forward into what God wants for you? Is there a stick in your mouth? Now, one of the things that we've got available to us this morning, it's in the creative resources, if you've not yet looked at it, is to make a timeline. And if you have pen and paper to hand, then you might want to do that this morning and just make yourself a timeline as you're joining in the worship and listening to me about where in your life you have found a taste of heaven, where have been there been experiences that are life-giving. And also, where has there been hurt? Where have there been sources of pain? And our invitation this morning is to, in fact, take these things to God, to ask him to show us that which we should keep hold of, that which we want to treasure or say, that is part of who I am and my story with you, and that which we want to say, well, we need healing from that. Or I need recovery from that, or I need to let go of that in order to move forward. So Mark's going to lead us in a story in our worship now, but I would just like to start planting that seed with you this morning. Where might there be things from last year, 2 years ago, or before that, where you're saying, it's time to let go. God, I need your help to move forward. Or where then might there be things in your past that you would say, actually, I want to take that through into my future. That's something that's sticking with me. It's part of who I am in you, God. Thank you, Lord, as we consider your ways, as we consider the big story of your word, as we reflect on our own lives, we can declare, God, you have done great things. And as we reflect on our story with you, would you be guiding us, Lord, to pay attention to what you're saying to us about that which we can let go of, that which we can keep hold of, and that which we can pick up. Lord, be guiding us, please. Give us ears to hear what you say. Amen.
Amen.
So, I do want to stress, leaving an old land doesn't mean forgetting everything, washing over it, or kind of ignoring it, a kind of burying our feelings mentality. The worst thing we could possibly do as we reflect on our stories and reflect on how we move into new seasons is to say that somehow we are just to bury past pain. So please hear me this morning that as we consider this matter, I am not supporting or encouraging a sense of merely ignoring things that really hurt us or times that have gone wrong. What I am suggesting is that we have to keep on trying to bring them into God's domain and asking him to heal us, bring healing or recovery, or indeed kind of restoration from even the darkest of times. But sometimes that does involve saying, well, that time is over now and I'm ready to move on in God's strength. Now, we've had our reading this morning, which is a really important foundation. Peter, would you mind making me co-host again, please? I had an internet issue here, so I lost my co-hosting powers. That would be terrific. Thank you. It is really important to be kind of resting in what God has said to us and what he said through the example of others and through scripture. And Paul has some very clear things to say on the passage that we shared. Now, please understand, there is a great deal more going on in that passage that I'm not picking up on. But what I did want to pick up on was this sense of perspective that Paul shows us in that passage in his letter to the church in Philippi. He's writing to them about quite core fundamentals of what it means to be a Christian, our approach to law, our approach to grace. But he's also talking about day-to-day living. And he says just a few things here that are important markers and examples for us. Number one, whatever were gains to him, he now considers loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. So whatever looked good in the past, whatever seemed profitable, whatever seemed great, in fact, he is willing to regard as loss for the sake of Jesus. He goes on to say, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. So such is Paul's abandonment, such is Paul's letting go, that he is willing to consider everything from his past story pre-Jesus as loss compared to the knowledge, the knowing of Jesus, that intimate knowledge of relationship and life with him. As he moves on then, he repeats this phrase twice. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then again, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, that actually for me sounds quite similar to what Mary has shared with us just a little while ago. Stay close and keep sowing. Stay close to Jesus and keep sowing into him. Keep sowing into our relationship with him and keep sowing him into the world around us. In particular there, when we say, well, what does it mean? That's a great phrase. It is one that I have used throughout my life. To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Well, one of the core fundamentals of our identity in Jesus is that he took hold of us in order that we would be able to pursue the great commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves, and the great commission to make disciples. That's our starting point. If ever you're stuck with, well, what's my calling? What is it I'm called to do as a follower of Jesus? Fundamentally, it's to love your neighbor as yourself and to make disciples. And if you're ever unclear on who your neighbor is, then read the story of the Good Samaritan. Sometimes it can just be the closest person in need. And we have this example I'd like to share with you from Justin Welby. He wrote a book about kind of hope for the nation in 2018, pre-pandemic. But it's really interesting to read it now in light of the pandemic and the further challenges that our country is experiencing. And he had this to say about moments of change. He said, moments of change are moments of great hope and opportunity. They are usually surrounded by threats, perceived or real. But the opportunity to spring clean is a gift and not a danger. This is true, provided that the hope for change may be built upon values of virtue and grace, of love and common humanity, and not on selfishness, inward looking, self-absorption, self-protection, and fear. That is why we face choices. And those choices can seem very grand in the world around us, as Chris alluded to right at the beginning of the meeting. The choice as to whether to further vaccinate our own population or vaccinate the billions around the world who have so little access to medical resources. They're very big choices to make, but there are also choices in our own lives about whether we're going to keep on being generous with our time, with our money, with our resources, with our homes, with the way we take part in gatherings, or whether we're going to retreat, we're going to hide and protect what we have. We can also look at Barack Obama, and I liked this phrase that I actually read last year, reading his story of being president, at a time when he was facing mass upheaval, and he was actually reflecting on his own faith and what it means to trust in God. And actually, he said this, often I find myself, and he gives this advice then, to try to align ourselves with what we feel is right, and with grace and nerve, play at each moment the hand that we're dealt. Now, I'm not comfortable with the phrase to simply say what we feel is right, because that can be a bit woolly, and all sorts of us can think and feel things are right that are in fact not right. So I'd want to go back and say, perhaps let's just base ourselves on that great commandment and great commission. But then nonetheless, I do concur. With grace and nerve, we play at each moment the hand that we're dealt. When we're moving into new land, as we see again from those examples from the Old Testament that we've looked at, look at the story of Joseph. Joseph, at each moment, plays the hand that he's dealt, when he's in prison or whether when he's facing his brothers. Joshua is instructed to be courageous and stay faithful to the commandments as he plays the hand with which he's been dealt. So each of us has a chance and an opportunity to respond to the new land that we're facing now. And for each of us, it revolves around discipleship. It revolves around our understanding of who Jesus is and what he's saying to us. And each of us has a chance, as we're experiencing a new year, new land in terms of new circumstances, new political context, new challenges, or perhaps new opportunities at school. Maybe there are new friendships, Maybe there is new teachers to experience. Maybe you're getting used to your new teachers or new friends in your class. For each of us, there are new opportunities in which we, first of all, need to take note. We need to say, what am I seeing? Or what am I experiencing? Then we need to say, what is God saying about it? What is God saying to me about these new experiences that I'm having? And to do that, you might want to draw on the input of friends. You might want to draw on the input of some of the people who know you well and know your life story. You'll want to draw on what the Bible has to say. You'll be wanting to listen in prayer and reflection to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And then you'll want to be coming to a place of action. What am I going to do about it? How am I going to play the hand that I've been dealt? We're faced with challenges, aren't we? We can find ourselves in positions where life has taken an unexpected turn. And our invitation is to use what is around us and use the events of the time in order to respond faithfully to Jesus. We're entering a season, for instance, where there is going to be great need all around us. And whatever happens with the pandemic, the financial impact of the pandemic is yet to be really realized. So for us and our story, there aren't great things that we can do, but there are just a few people around us who we know are going to find the next year really hard. And so for us, there's nothing exciting about it. It's just the fundamentals, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, that for us then, that means a level of hospitality to a few people, one or two, who we can consistently care for and be loving to listen to and supportive. Or we can just check in with them. We can maybe walk the dog or just check that they're doing okay. These aren't big, exciting things. They're merely the actions that are most at hand, the most available. It can also mean making sure, as Mary encouraged us, that staying close and the keep sowing. So it can mean making sure you still take the opportunities to join in these video calls, coming to our in-person gatherings as a whole church, as well as missional community. It can be making sure you go to the house party here at Holy Trinity House, and joining in the activities that are available to us, like Launchpad, or going to the Hub Youth Club. Just taking part in that which is available to us. And may I just say, this is a chance to consider our discipleship groups. Karina has flagged it already. The leaders have started looking at them. People have been coming to us saying, I'm ready for a new group to start up in a group. So we're really going to do our best in the coming weeks to give people of options of others they might like to connect with in your discipleship group. Your discipleship group is a very good place to be looking at these questions. As we approach this new land, what are you seeing? What is God saying? And what are you going to do about it? So we're going to shortly be breaking bread, and Chris is going to lead us in that. But before we do, I would just like you to take, please, anything to hand that you have available. So I'd like you, please, if you haven't already, grab something around you. I'm looking on my screen so I can see Patrick has got a cushion in front of you, a lovely hearty cushion. That is fantastic. Find something. I'm going to choose something. I've got some keys. I can see Jan is holding something up there. Let's take a look. Everyone, just grab something. Mike's grabbing Lynn. Lynn's grabbing Mike back. Pardon me, got something in my throat. That's great. You've got something. I see Trish has got a cushion as well. That's lovely, Trish. I love that. So what I'd like you to do, we're going to pray together now. And we're going to hold these items in our hands in different ways. Firstly, what I'd like you to do is to hold whatever you've got really tightly. And what I'd like you to do is just pray and invite God to show you those things that we're really encouraging in our lives. Things we want to affirm and say, this is with me for the long haul. This is something I'm not letting go of. As I come into new land, as I come into new opportunities, I am not letting go of this. So, Lord, I just pray now and ask that you would help us bring to mind those things that we are not letting go of as the seasons around us change. I just invite you to pray and thank God for what's coming to mind. I want to thank you for your story in my life. I want to thank you for all the times I can look back and see where you've rescued me and restored me. I want to thank you for my wife and my family, this church family and my friends, my dad. I want to thank you that you've seen me through so many challenges. Now I'd like to invite you to loosen up what you're holding. And these are the things that symbolize that actually you want to hold lightly, or it might be time to let go of. So you might just want to hold it differently in your hands, maybe just cup it. I just invite you again, invite you, Lord, to speak to us and show us that which maybe it's time to let go of, or we need to hold lightly in times of change. Lord, we thank you for these things. Thank you that all circumstances and experiences can be used to shape us and mold us as your children. Lord, we commit to you and pray with open minds. Those things that perhaps it's time to let go of, or to really hold lightly and await further guidance. Lord, I pray for healing. All of us need healing for certain things in our lives that can damage us and hurt us. Lord, may there be healing and recovery where hurt and pain has come. And would you help us to, Lord, move forward in our lives without those things taking hold of us, stopping us from crossing that bridge. And lastly, then, we let go. We can hold with open hands and invite God to show us that which may be something new for us to take up. And again, Lord, I invite you to prompt us. Might there be things to show us, things to do, a hand that's been dealt to us that we need to play with, actions to take that are new for us in this time of change. Would you help us, please, to understand what it means to stay close and to keep sowing? Help us to see what that looks like in our lives, what practices we take up. And I pray, Lord, maybe there's somebody for us to connect with this week. Would you show us, Lord, please, if there's just somebody we can be connecting with, or just following that basic commandment to love our neighbor this week. Please show us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you that we are secure in you. Thank you that we belong to you, that our lives and our stories are caught up in your story. Thank you for the example we've looked at in the series of taking new land. Thank you for the lessons, Lord, letting go of past life and moving on into new territory. Lord, we commit our ways to you. Amen.